Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, everybody. Josh Wigler here. And before we get into Attack of the Clones, I want to tell you a quick word about our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Yeah, that's right. We've got a long time to go in that galaxy far, far away because post-show recaps is all in on Star Wars. That's right, Star Wars, he said. Josh Wigler here, talking to you about Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, another prequel. We're still in the prequel trenches, a little later than we said. Sorry about that. Sometimes life finds a way to ruin your plans, and unfortunately, I don't have access to the cloning facility on Kamino, so I'm not able to make multiple Wigglers, though that would be terrifying. What I do have, in addition to a particular set of skills that may or may not make me a nightmare for some people, is an incredible co-host who is about to fly through the open sky highways of Coruscant with me, about to embark on a gladiatorial battle against all these droids and Jango Fett and old man dark saber. Where he doesn't have a dark saber, this is Count Dooku. I don't have Count Dooku with me. I've got Jessica Lees, much better than Count Dooku. Jess,
Josh Wigler, you've grown.
I mean, implications are weird.
I mean, grown,
Jess.
More beautiful. I mean, for a podcaster, I mean.
Oh my God! Oh, Attack of the Clones. Jess is here to walk through it with me. We just have so many people who want to talk about Star Wars that I'm feeling like every podcast it might be me and like a shifting bounty hunter from across the post show recaps galaxy.
I mean,
Jess,
is there really anything wrong with that? I feel like we're opening the gates to everybody that has opinions and thoughts and feelings about this very important franchise. We're doing good work here. It's a good thing.
We're doing better work probably than certain people were doing during the making of the Star Wars prequels, in our fields at least. That may be an overblown self-appraisal that would be fitting comfortably alongside the overblown self-appraisals that were probably happening during the making of the prequel.
Look, it comes with the territory. Overblown self-appraisal is just kind of like part and parcel of the entertainment industry.
100%. Jess, what's going on? Jess, you are talking to me as you have just finished taking the stand opposite Rob Sesternino.
I gotta be honest, Josh. Watching the entirety of the CBS All Access version of The Stand really makes Attack of the Clones seem like a much more attractive thing to watch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We were supposed to record this last week. As I said, life got in the way for both of us. A very hilarious technical difficulty that completely derailed our ability to do a podcast last week. But when we were talking in the run-up to this, Jess, I think that was when you were saying, it says a lot these are not, this is not verbatim, but you said something like, it says a lot that the best thing I watched last week was Attack of the Clones.
It's true. And honestly, the first conversation we had, I kind of slid into your DMs and I said, Josh, I just want to make myself available. You should know that when it seems like I know a lot about Star Wars, that's not just me putting up a very good front.
It's not a feint.
And I would be available anytime you need someone to talk Star Wars, figuring you've got the schedule in stone for quite a while. And you're like, hey, okay, let's talk about Attack of the Clones next week. And I'm like, crap, I should have saved this for later. Now I have to rewatch Attack of the Clones. But I got to be honest, I was prepared to hate it. It's not as bad as I remember it. I kind of liked it. I had a lot of fun.
Yes. I have to be very clear about where I'm coming from heading into this podcast. I know I've already done a little bit of a pa-coo, pa-coo, pot shots, pot shots at these prequels. But a couple weeks ago, I watched Attack of the Clones live in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. And I know you know the song and the routine by now. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps, where you can join us to gamble in fictional casinos or play Dungeons and Dragons or just talk about podcasts and Star Wars and nonsense. But I was watching this in the Discord with the great Brendan Fitzpatrick, who has a very special place in his heart for Attack of the Clones because of where he was in his life when he saw this, who he saw it with. Like, this is his Phantom Menace, basically. To like apply it to like how I felt about the Phantom Menace. That is one that I just like, I can't ignore my nostalgic feelings. I know the movie is trash, but I love it and I don't really care. Watching it with Brendan and like watching it with somebody who like really cared about the movie, maybe that made a difference, or maybe it was just that I was in a good mood. I don't know, but I recognize again, I don't think this is a very good movie, but I kind of had fun. I had fun watching Attack of the Clones, and I think that this is the worst of the prequels, and yet I had a pretty good time watching it, so maybe the prequels are still just kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know, it holds together better than I thought it did. I started out like I'm taking notes, and I'm like trying, you know, I'm trying to find like the snarky, sarcastic things to say about each scene, and then I kind of fell away over time. It's like, oh,
yeah,
I'm into this plot. I see where it's going, and there's some really clever, like, yeah, I just called Attack of the Clones clever. Come at me. There's a couple of really clever moments of foreshadowing here that the payoff is really big. And it's like, oh, somebody that does know how to tell a story had their hands on this at some point.
Yeah. You know, it's not perfect. There's a lot in here that's not good. I don't think I have anything positive to say about the Anakin and Padme stuff. I'm pretty sure I've got not a single positive thing to say about
it. Yeah, agreed.
But look at Ewan McGregor having so much fun, you know? Look at that guy having a great time. He's just having so much fun. And look at Christopher Lee hanging out in my Star Wars movie. And look at all these different Jedi in the arena. And look at that really fun, basically, car chase through Coruscant. I look at that guy, that big old guy running the diner. I like that guy.
Yeah, you know who else is having as much fun as Ewan McGregor? The visual effects guys. Like, they are brand new to the CGI. They got all these cool technical toys to play with, and they bring them all. It is really, it's a visual feast, for sure. And sometimes the things that you are eating are not very good for you. And sometimes you know they are straight up trash, but you can tell they are just, they're just like, they got their hands in the toy box and they're trying everything.
All right. Well, let's stick our hands in the toy box. Let's talk through Attack of the Clones. We're going to recap the movie. We'll have one more Attack of the Clones podcast after this. I think that you can count on about two podcasts a month for the next little while as an adjustment that we have to make. I haven't said this yet on the Star Wars podcast. I've said this on many other podcasts that I appear on. I've got a new job. I'm very excited about this. It'll be the TV and movies editor of Inverse.com. It's going to be really, really fun. Lots of great content on the way. But I have to get my feet on the ground at the job. And as a result, podcast stuff is adjusting for the next little while, just as I'm making sure that I've got the right balance with everything. This is for the health of the podcast. Long term just means maybe fewer podcasts. Let's clean that up. Fewer podcasts. Let's see, editing. Fewer podcasts
than
you typically get. Fewer. So just two on Attack of the Clones and two next month on Clone Wars Exact Topics to be determined. And then we'll be at Revenge of the Sith. We'll see if we're back to three or if we're still at two. Jess, let's hop into this movie.
Okay.
I've gotten notes from the great Ben Kenobi behind the curtain, Ben Martell, who tells me, and I missed this, Jess, did you watch this on Disney Plus? Apparently there's a tobacco warning at the start because of them death sticks.
And you know those death sticks, they will ruin your life.
They will. Stay away. Stay away from those death sticks. The film begins with the opening crawl, Jess. I shall do it in my most Clone Warsy voice that I possess. Here it goes. There is unrest in the Galactic Senate. Several thousand solar systems have declared their intentions to leave the Republic. This separatist movement under the leadership of the mysterious Count Dooku has made it difficult for the limited number of Jedi Knights to maintain peace and order in the galaxy. Senator Amidala, the former Queen of Naboo, is returning to the Galactic Senate to vote on the critical issue of forming an army of the Republic to assist the overwhelmed Jedi.
How was that? Beautiful. You sounded kind of like Dr. Evil there. Like whenever you say Count Dooku, you sound like Dr. Evil.
Yeah. The other one where I felt like I myself felt like I was slipping into Dr. Evil was returning to the Galactic Senate to vote on the critical issue. That felt very Dr. Evil.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's the premise, huh? And so we begin with the very memorable scene of Senator Amidala landing on Coruscant with her new buddy, Captain Typho. No Captain Panaka anymore, which makes me sad. And the ship exploding. But it's not actually Padme. It's one of the decoys. Jess, don't think I have any real strong memories of this scene. If we were to power rank like first scenes in a Star Wars movie, episodic Star Wars movie, Skywalker Saga Star Wars movie, this be close to last place?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a minute since I have revisited this movie, and this is certainly the movie that I have seen the fewest number of times.
Yeah.
In fact, I may have only ever seen this in the theater and then never again. The one time. So, but this is not the first scene that I remember from this. Like, I kind of remember it kicking off with Obi-Wan and Anakin in the elevator being like, hey, remember the time we did the thing in the place? And that just annoyed me. And maybe this didn't annoy me, so maybe that's why I don't remember it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm just like quickly running through in my head all of the opening scenes. And I think I don't really remember the Rise of Skywalker opening all too well, other than it was like bright flashing lights and lasers and action and fury. And yes. And so maybe that would be a contender. But this is just kind of forgettable. It's just like the fake explosion, doesn't really have much, memorability, but Padme, even though she's just the senator now, she's still, I guess, like if you were a former queen of Naboo, Jess, you're still hooked up with all the decoys. You still have just like a decoy entourage.
Yeah, I imagine their Secret Service is pretty robust. But Josh, can we stop down here and talk for a minute about the governmental system on Naboo?
Yeah, of course,
always.
Talk
about the fact that the people on this planet don't have a problem democratically electing an adolescent girl as their queen and having her serve several terms and then electing that same 18-year-old girl to the Galactic Senate. It's a very weird governmental system, Josh. And I think this is some retconning that's happened here. And I think it's because they realized real quick that if Amidala is the queen, she has to stay on her planet and be the queen and rule it. And so they had to find some other way. Like, we got to get her off the planet. And it's got to be pretty permanent. So let's just have her stop being queen because that's inconvenient to deal with.
Yeah, probably a bunch of things that happened in that first one where they're like, maybe if we had zigged.
Yeah, maybe if she hadn't made the kid 10.
Should we have zigged? I know we zagged there. Were we supposed to zig?
We're supposed to zig, dude.
I think he may have wanted to zig there. Josh Ziegler. All right. And so then we go to the Chancellor Palpatine chamber. He's hanging out with the Jedi. This was a big take of mine throughout this movie, Jess, is that the Jedi Council, they're terrible. Idiots. They're so dumb. And this movie makes Yoda look really bad, in my opinion. Like, Palpatine is so sus. It is so clear that Palpatine is imposter. You do not have to see him vent. That dude is the killer. He's killing people. And Yoda's supposed to be Yoda, and Yoda's supposed to know. But instead, like, they sit through all these meetings with Palpatine being like, oh, no, we should probably think about, emergency powers would be a great idea. And Yoda and Mace Windu are like, I don't know, I guess. I don't know. Sure. Let's go with that. That works.
Yeah, and the thing that immediately, without even going into, like, how... We're going to get into, of course, how Hitler-y this whole thing is. But we need to talk about what an abject moron Mace Windu is in this scene. Because it's like, oh, someone just tried to assassinate Padme under some really sus circumstances. And it seems like it might be somebody that has some, like, Jedi ties. Can't possibly be that guy who's leading people to secede, who has political reasons to mess with Padme, who was once a Jedi, because Jedi would never kill anybody, and it just doesn't matter that he quit. I mean, he self-evicts from our monastic order because he didn't like how we run things, but, you know, he's a Jedi, and Jedi don't kill people, except he's not a Jedi anymore.
Yeah, Padme's like, I'm pretty sure it was Dooku, and everyone's like, no! No, he's like, you know, I disagree with him politically. Yeah. But he would never do something like that.
Can't we just all come together with unity? Like, there's very fine people on both sides.
Listen, Mace Windu, be very careful about reaching across the aisle. We see what happens to your hand in the next movie.
Yeah.
Boy, you gotta keep that
Jedi
close.
In their hands. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, frankly, yeah. There's a lot of hand stuff with Count Dooku as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's gonna cut off Anakin's arm here. Then he's gonna lose both of his own hands, I believe, before... He gets his head chopped off, too. Count Dooku has a pretty gnarly death scene, if I recall.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I'm a Jedi, I'm going to, like, just go ahead and preemptively get the robot hands.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea. Just, like, undergo the voluntary surgery and get the robot hands.
Yeah, like, you're at risk of getting them severed. Like, do it under anesthesia so you don't have to feel the pain.
This is a really good idea, I think. I think if I lived in the Star Wars universe, I think I would go for robot limbs voluntarily. I guess I'd have to save the galactic credits for it. So this is, you know, assuming I have access or my galactic healthcare.
I really
healthcare
feel like if you're going to be a Jedi... It. The Jedi probably have pretty good bennies. So you probably have a good health plan.
Old Benny Kenobi's.
You got a good HMOE1 Kenobi.
So Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker they're on a new assignment. Obi-Wan is in full Jedi Knight mode and Anakin is like deep into the Padawan trenches. He's getting close to Jedi Knighthood himself, relatively anyway. And they've got this new assignment where they are going to protect Padme because she's been targeted. And Anakin's like, ah, jeez, Obi-Wan, I'm so nervous. Ah, and Obi-Wan's like, what's the problem? It's, you know, it's just Padme. And Anakin's like, you don't get it. I was like 9 years old and I thought she was so cute. And she's just not even going to remember me. And meanwhile, little does Anakin know that Padme, 18-year-old Padme, is going to be like, oh, you, that little 9-year-old boy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Puberty was kind to you.
This works.
Yes.
Yeah, you did great. You
just
going
to throw this out here, Josh. If the Jedi were allowed to get laid, you would not get this situation of a guy that's obsessed with a girl he met when he was 10. Like, this is brought to you by my special interest group, LetTheJediHaveSex.com.
I think that's right. I think that the Jedi should be allowed to do it.
Jedi should 100%. And also, I mean, this has been a hill I've been willing to die on for nearly 20 years at this point. Midichlorians, they're a thing in your DNA, right? They're in your blood, they're cells, they're presumably there's some genetic tie to them. So if what you want is people who are force sensitive, who have high levels of midichlorians, why are you making every single person with high levels of midichlorians not pass on their genetics?
Yeah. You guys should be doing it for a lot of reasons.
Like, do it with other Jedi. Like, do it with non-Jedi. Just like get it on a lot
just
more.
Just do it. It's like Nike.
Just do it.
Just do it. Well, whether or not it's frowned upon, Anakin's going to end up doing it. So he's like, oh, Padme, oh my God. She's like, oh, you sweet little boy. And he's like, don't call me that. Obi-Wan and Anakin, Hayden Christensen in the house. Upgrade or downgrade from Jake Lloyd?
It's hard because I think, like you have spoken about in your previous Phantom Menace podcast, Jake Lloyd was trying very hard. Like, he is the only one in the entire movie that's acting. And that kind of makes him look like he's overacting, which he probably really isn't. And also that poor guy, it's been a rough ride for him. I have a hard time comparing Hayden Christensen favorably to Jake Lloyd, but also he's got the lack of acting thing down pat. And
yeah, he's ready to go.
Furthermore, nobody can be attractive with that rat tail.
I gotta imagine we could test that theory.
Go ahead and test it all you want. This is an impenetrable shield between attractiveness and non-attractiveness.
Is this part of the Jedi Council's abstinence program?
That might be it. It's like, well, we'll just make people have a really unattractive hairstyle, and now while we're beating all the urges out of them, they will not be tempted because nobody will want to get near them with that rat tail.
Yeah. So also Jar Jar is here. Jar Jar, who will have a limited screen time, but critical screen time in this film. Jar Jar is going to be a very important piece of this. He's very happy to see. It's a family reunion, Jess, getting all the whole gang is back together. There's so much nostalgia in this room.
Yeah, they got
room.
The band back together. And it's, but it's weird because it really seems to me like the more interesting movie would have been whatever happened between the end of Phantom Menace and the beginning of now. Because they really, I don't think anybody that wrote this had any idea of any of it. Like, they don't interrogate it at all. It's like, you know, it could have just ended, like Phantom Menace could have ended yesterday for all they care about what happened between the two movies. And that's, I think, one of the more unsuccessful things that happens here. It's because these are not characters that have grown or changed at all, despite the fact that they tell each other they've grown and changed.
Right. They really haven't, huh? They're all basically the same as where we left them, just Anakin's taller.
He's taller and he's got a longer rat tail. But, you know, they have that horrible conversation. It's like the worst dialogue of any movie I can think of, and this did not hold up. The rest of it is better than I remember, but this part where they're, like, standing in the elevator, like, yes, what about that time we did that thing? And you don't get any sense that these two people know each other at all.
Yeah, I think that the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin is not very good, especially considering where they are going to go for the next several films and their relationship in the mythology. And again, and I've said this on a few of the podcasts, I know like the Clone Wars contingent, like the people who've watched the show, they're like, Clone Wars does a lot of work in making Anakin a better character and also the relationship between these two characters. Still think it's unfortunate that that's what you have to lean on for the films. It would be nice if this stuff existed better in the movies. And there's a couple moments. I don't want to like completely short sell it. You know, I think that like the Coruscant chase scene that we're going to get into here pretty soon is actually, there's some fun Anakin and
there
Obi-Wan
is some
stuff.
Fun Anakin and Obi-Wan stuff. And as we get deeper into it, we see the connection between the two of them. They have a couple adventures together, but it's also really hard to suss out that relationship when they spend most of the movie not in the same place, having two different adventures. So there's also that.
Right.
I think it is worth talking a little bit about. Do you remember what the rumors were around what this was going to be like at the time that these movies were coming out?
No.
There was a lot of talk that this was going to be a very different movie. This was going to be like an Arthurian love triangle where, and I think this was before we knew about child Anakin, but the thought was, and I think maybe it was just because it was low-hanging fruit, people were thinking, oh, well, it's obviously like Obi-Wan has some affection for the woman that eventually becomes Mrs. Anakin, and the two of them become like romantic rivals, and this is what pushes Anakin to the dark side. And I want to know, Josh, do you think that would be a more interesting movie with more depth of character?
No, I don't think so. But I think that because like it's like tropey,
yeah, it's
right?
A little tropey,
and it's not that tropey is automatically like throw that out. I just think it has to be handled with a deft yeah. hand.
It certainly wouldn't be handled by these hands.
No, we would want to like surgically yes, replace yes. hands and replace them with yes. robot hands. So to speak.
Yeah, because I feel like maybe AI technology has moved far enough that they could write a better Star Wars script sometimes.
Maybe. It's possible. I think it's interesting to a degree. I think the thing that is sorely missing is some more connective tissue between the Anakin and
or
Obi-Wan
between,
stories. Whether or not that's
yeah, or
it,
between
I don't
Obi-Wan
know.
And anybody, because he really,
yeah, yeah.
I think you get a little sense of what he and Qui-Gon are like together, but other than that, he seems to have no relationships with anybody.
None. Not really much of one. And that's all right. You know, it is what it is. He's got the beard. And ultimately, that is that's what matters most. Anakin is sad. Padme doesn't remember him really, or like doesn't think about him the way that he thinks. I think about her every day, Jar Jar. And anyway, so that's what's going on there. Meanwhile, we've got our assassin, Zam Wessel. Is like, well, I tried to kill. Tried to kill the lady. It was a different lady. Mm-hmm. Can I try again? So they're gonna give her another assignment, another attempt on Padme's
life. Try a different thing this time. Use a different weapon.
Yes. So Obi-Wan and Anakin are on guard duty. They are officially Padme's bodyguards. Obi-Wan and Anakin are having some conversations about how Anakin doesn't sleep very well anymore because he dreams about his mom. He's having dreams about his mother being in danger. So this is like a tell that Anakin's really hooked in, that M count is high because we're talking about the mom mm-hmm. count. He's in distress thinking about his mom being in danger. So that's going to pay off, of course. A little while yeah. from now.
And also,
Obi-Wan wants Anakin to keep
also
that in
put
check.
That, put a pin in that because we're gonna revisit this because there's a point where the show forgets its own, like the movie forgets its own mythology. So put a pin in that. We're going to get to it.
We'll get there. We will get there. They're talking and doing a lot of talking. So much talking that they miss the fact that there is a drone cutting a hole through the glass window in Padme's bedroom, it's Zam Wessel and like her little like centipede assassin stuff.
You would think that there should be some kind of alarm system rigged onto your windows, especially mm-hmm. if you have big windows and you're rich and you need security.
Yes. But you would also beyond that think that Anakin and Obi-Wan would take their jobs as security detail so seriously that they would be paying closer attention to what's going on here. But instead, they're just like gossiping. They're like, so Anakin, who do you like?
And they're also talking, they're having like boring conversations about their tiresome politics as well. Like, Obi-Wan, you really tell us how you feel again about politicians. We didn't catch it the first 25 times. You got a yes. beard and you hate politicians. Got it.
And that's about it. So the centipedes are infiltrating. I'm going to not talk about pop culture centipedes for too much
not
longer.
Not talk about Wrath of Khan?
While they're having their issues, the assassination attempt is on. They finally are like, oh, that's right. We're here for a reason. We're sensing some things are going down. They go into the room. They see the drone. They see things are going to happen. Obi-Wan Kenobi just hurls himself through a window to grab onto the drone. Jess, there are no streets in Coruscant. Mm-hmm. What if he hadn't landed on the drone?
I don't know. Can Jedi fly? Could he have like used his lightsaber to do Jedi stuff?
Yeah.
I don't
maybe.
know.
Maybe. Can you like helicopter with the Jedi?
Yeah, go gadget copter. You just press the button and it just starts going. Yeah.
Very brave, Jess. It's a very brave
move. But he knows that he's not, that nothing's going to happen to him. He senses it in the Force. Like, he knows that the Force is with him.
I have plot armor, Anakin.
Well, that's the thing, Josh. This is hard to inject suspense into this scene if you have seen the other movies. It's a prequel, and I think the challenge with prequels is always to inject suspense in there. You know that Obi-Wan's not going to fall to the non-street and die, because you know when he dies, and it's a long time from now.
Right, a long time to go.
Yes, we got a long time to go.
Before Obi-Wan dies. That being said, I really like this. I like the pacing of it. I like the action of it. I kind of love the idea of Coruscant having all of these like hovercrafts that are basically treated just like cars. Like a Star Wars car chase here. And I know that's not totally new because we did pod racing last time. I don't know. It's got like a Fast and Furious Coruscant drift
it's
vibes.
It's like a cross between Blade Runner and Bullet and Back to the Future Part 2. Like, all just kind of mashed together. It goes on way too long, much like the pod racing scene. But I agree, this is really fun, and the effects are really great. And you really do, like, I can imagine, like, seeing this on the big screen, you could get dizzy watching it.
Yeah. This would be the kind of thing that might make you a little motion sick if you have sensitivity in that range. You get to the nightclub. This is the Death Stick scene. Someone's trying to sling Death Sticks at Obi-Wan. Apparently, this character's name is Elon Sleaze Bagano.
It's the best name a character ever gets in Star Wars.
Elon Sleaze Bagano, who is a Death Stick slinger. Pretty awesome name. Absolutely. Yep.
And they talk him out of going down the bad path. And then apparently he just goes and invests in Bitcoin.
Yeah, Obi-Wan says, don't do that. He's like, I'm not going to do it. You should go home and rethink your life. I think I'm going to go home and rethink my life.
Might have to have a name change. Because it'd be really hard to go into legitimate business when your name's Elon Sleaze Bagano.
Yeah, what should he change it to? Elon Good Guy Bagano?
Yeah, Elon Good Guy - Bagano.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So Elon's going to quit the Death Sticks habit, and that was worth the warning from Disney.
Does this look like a terrible bar to hang out, Josh?
You know, I think it doesn't look great, but I'm also, even certainly in our current times, you're not going to catch me in a bar like
this. This bar looks socially distanced, Josh. Like, there's like almost nobody in it. It looks like the beginning. It's like the bar pre-bar rescue.
Obi-John Taffer is someone who I desperately want to see in the Star Wars universe. Yeah, maybe Zam Wessel's like, I picked the wrong bar. I can't believe I picked the Cantina Rescue Cantina. What a mistake. Because Zam Wessel can't really blend in too well.
For a changeling, Zam Wessel's really bad at blending into stuff.
Yes, Obi-Wan corners her.
Can we talk about the fact that Obi-Wan keeps misgendering Zam Wessel? And I couldn't tell if this was just because Obi-Wan is not hip to like respecting people's pronouns, or if because Zam Wessel is a changeling, it kind of threw him off.
I don't know. I think for his sins, Qui-Gon was the one who like kind of thought, you know, outside of the strict veneer of the Jedi Council. I don't know if Obi-Wan is open-minded.
I think Obi-Wan's too tied to the patriarchy at this point.
Like, I think it's
how
possible.
How dare you assume that the bounty hunter is a man?
Yeah. Here's my other issue is, so Jango Fett kills Zam Wessel, right? Like, Jango Fett toxic darts Zam Wessel to death. So Jango Fett is on Coruscant, and Jango Fett has hired Zam Wessel to kill Padme twice. Zam Wessel fails twice. Jango Fett is like managing editor of this assassination attempt.
So are you taking notes from him?
Yeah, Jango Fett, maybe write the article yourself at this point. You know, Jango Fett probably just go and do the
thing. Yeah, too many revisions.
Oh, if you came all the way, you came all the way to Coruscant from Kamino, you may as well just, you know, write the article, pull off the mission on your own. So this kind of annoying.
Yeah, it is a little bit annoying, especially since like he knows how to do that and he's good at it.
That's sort of his thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you got your boots on the ground. I mean, there's no ground on Coruscant, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So everyone's like, all right, well, let's regroup after that, because that was a lot. Obi-Wan's got like the dart. That is sort of his clue. And one of the things that I love about Attack of the Clones, unironically, is like Detective Kenobi, I think, is a cool
idea. I like the unpacking of the mystery of it all. Although Django Fett, really sloppy work.
Yes, big time. But I think that the idea of Ben Kenobi on the beat, you know, it's kind of fun.
It's kind of, there's kind of a noir feel to it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's like a little bit subversive. As like, it's one of the most original ideas the prequels have come up with so far. And I think it actually, it fits nicely into like the, like A New Hope when you see Obi-Wan Kenobi like sneaking around the Death Star and stuff. Like, it's kind of leaning into that to a degree, except like giving it even more of this noir beat to it. I really like it. I think it's a great idea. So he's going to track down the bounty hunter. Meanwhile, Anakin is going to be on full court press with Padme security detail. Everyone thinks, Anakin should be the one who
Let's send you off alone with the woman you've been obsessed with since you were 10. And you're not allowed to have sex with her. So I'm pretty sure you're not actually going to try. What could go wrong?
This is Palpatine's idea, right? Palpatine's like, oh, send Anakin. Send Anakin. That
also
would be good.
Have we ever been shown that Palpatine and Anakin have any kind of relationship? There's like one scene that suggests he's sort of coaching him behind the scenes, but you don't get the roots of that. You don't know, like, has he been in touch with them? Like, do they send emails? Are they, you know, on Facebook together?
Yeah, I think they slack. The extent of the relationship, as far as we have it in canon in the films, at least, you know, beyond the films, I don't know. But the scene in The Phantom Menace where he says, we'll watch your career with great interest, you know? So like Palpatine's got eyes on Anakin right now anyway, has access to knowing that Anakin is a super big deal within the Jedi Order, sees Anakin possibly as a key to the future and certainly all of his plans. So he keeps like loading Anakin up with all of this false bravado. He keeps saying, well, you're the most gifted Jedi ever. You could probably be cooler than Yoda someday. And Anakin's like, really?
I don't know.
You know, that sounds fun. That sounds like a great idea to me. So Palpatine is definitely like molding the situation already. Palpatine continues his MVP streak through the prequels.
Yeah. I mean, he's, politically, he's very savvy, and we kind of appreciate that. And meanwhile, on the other end of the spectrum, we have Padme is abdicating her Senate seat to Jar Jar because Jar Jar is in the House of Representatives, and she's given him a promotion.
Yeah.
And nobody voted Obi-Wan, for him. Literally nobody voted for this.
Yeah. None. No. It's a nightmare. Yeah. It's a nightmare.
And also, I want to point out in this scene, before we go to the diner, we got to talk about Padme's handmaid.
Yes, the Rose Byrne handmaid.
It's kind of amazing. I think I was expecting to see more sort of like Keira Knightley type actors before they were really famous, but this is like the only one we get.
Yeah, it is very odd seeing Rose Byrne as one of Padme's handmaidens. For some reason, to me, it's even stranger than Keira Knightley. And I think a piece of that is because like with Keira Knightley, they want you to not know if it's her or Natalie Portman. You know, they're leaning into the fact that they're, you know, veritable doppelgangers. Here with Rose Byrne, like she gets her own dialogue and stuff, and she's in scenes with Natalie Portman. And to me, every time they're in a scene together, I think it's a digital shirt.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it feels like parody. It doesn't feel right. It feels like post-Bridesmaids Rose Byrne on SNL being superimposed into Star Wars.
Yeah, it is really... It is quite jarring. And also, Rose Byrne doesn't rise to the looking enough like Keira Knightley, looking enough like Natalie Portman that you could cast Rose Byrne opposite either one of those actresses and you would know which one is which.
Yes.
So, and also, Rose Byrne in this movie has to be pretty young. She's got to be like 21 and she still looks 30. Like, she's always looked 30. She's going to look 30 when she's 60.
Yeah. Anakin has been assigned to Padme, and he gets like one final lecture from Obi-Wan, and he starts to just like really let it all out in front of Padme. He goes, "Obi-Wan stinks. I'm ready for the trials. Obi-Wan is overly critical. He never listens. It's not fair." And Padme's like, "I gotta be honest, Anakin. I thought you were kind of hot, but you're acting like a little bit of a B-word.
This is not a good look, Anakin.
This is not great. You gotta calm down. I've got great notes from the Ben behind the curtain. This is what how he describes what happens next. Anakin glowers lustfully at Padme. I like that. Padme tells him to stop it. It makes her uncomfortable. "You're not the only one, Padme," says the Ben behind the curtain.
Yeah, there's just this through line of, "Please stop hitting on me, you gross rat-tailed little twerp." And it just, like, you never see the turning point. You just see, "Please stop hitting on me, please stop hitting on me." All right.
Yeah, it feels like the kind of thing at a certain point where, like, Padme throws back a couple of, like, spiked blue milks and is like, "Ah, screw it. All right, let's go." But it just feels deeply unearned. Anakin and Padme are going to leave. There's the bye, Rose Byrne. See you later. Anakin says, "Don't worry. We've got R2. We're going to be totally fine." Meanwhile, Obi-Wan, Detective Kenobi, is going to go hang out with Dexter Jetster.
It is a great name. Great guy. Yeah. He seems
great.
Like,
great guy. Are you kidding me? Incredible guy.
It seems like he'd be so fun. He'd be a good hang.
Yeah. People who know, is there any Dex in the Clone Wars? Do we see more Dexter Jetster? If not, and even if so, can we get a Disney Plus Dexter Jetster spinoff? I would love to see the Dexter introduction recut with Dexter Jetster scenes.
Did they make
with the Dexter theme song?
Did they make a Lego of Dexter Jetster?
Gotta imagine.
I feel like I would buy any form of action figure of him. He's great. And also, people never eat in Star Wars. Have you noticed this? This is like people going to the bathroom on Star Trek. You never get to see any place. Like, sometimes there's a bar and people are having drinks. And of course, you got the blue milk and you got whatever the hell it was that Yoda was eating. That's it. And so it's weird. Like, you don't even think of people in these movies as eating. So they go to a diner. It's pretty great.
Yeah. Liquid diet. I think it's the liquid diet. So Obi-Wan and Dexter hug it out, old friends. Dex is like, "Oh, this thing is from Kamino." It's like, "Yeah, it's not in the analysis archives. Someone's obviously fudging the numbers in the background, but like, you got to go to Kamino. It's beyond the Outer Rim. It's kind of hard to find, but the people on Kamino, really tiny heads, very long necks, really, really, really great at cloning." This is interesting for like fry cook Dexter Jetster, small business owner. Very interesting for him to know and Obi-Wan not to know.
Yeah, it's weird that he's sort of just hiding out in plain sight. He's like this oracle in the diner.
Yeah. Like, what was his past life that he knew all of this stuff? I'm sure that there's an actual answer to that.
And this is why we want the prequel series. We want to know, like, what his underworld connections were and how did he get out of that life? How did he rehabilitate and become an honest, upstanding business owner, yet still remain with these tentative ties to the underworld?
Yeah. I want, like, a The Wire-esque series with Dexter in, he's like Cuddy. He's got like a gym. He's teaching people how to box, work your stuff out. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
And can I just say, we're going to meet the Kaminos or Kaminoans in a second. And there's a problem because there's two different Q-tip races. Because there's one of the Jedi is a different kind of Q-tip alien.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate this because I feel like just like make him one of those guys. It's confusing.
Right. Yeah, it's a little strange.
Or make him look like something else. Make guys on Kamino look like something else.
It could be the thing. That would be a thing to do. Obi-Wan goes to the library because that's a thing that you should do more often, folks. You go to the library, the archives. He hangs out with Jocasta New, I just recently watched an episode of Clone Wars where she was
cool.
in it.
Oh, cool. She comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, she got knocked out by a changeling. I'm pretty sure it was a different changeling, but she got, like, knocked unconscious by a changeling, and then the changeling shapeshifted into her, and Ahsoka Tano was like, you're not Jocasta Nu, and then she, like, fights the changeling Jocasta Nu, so it's, like, old lady badass, but it's not actually her in the scene.
It's really fun when old people kick ass. Put a pin in that, too. We're gonna get back to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll get there, too. All right, so Anakin and Padme, they're drinking, they're on the refugee ship. I think they're like, hey, Anakin, don't you seem a little young for
okay,
this?
Okay, and here we go. Anakin says to Padme, you're the same as you were in my dreams, and I dream about you mm-hmm. all the time. Wait a minute, he was bitching 10 minutes ago about how he only ever dreams about his mom, and he never gets to dream about Padme. Which one is it?
Yeah, paging Darth Freud.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, not good. So that's a little uncomfortable. Jedi, they are not supposed to love. Meanwhile, I believe in the continuity of all of this because of some events that happen in Clone Wars. I think that as a Jedi Knight, Obi-Wan has a relationship with someone from Mandalore, if I'm not
Good.
Mistaken.
I feel like Obi-Wan would be a little bit easier to deal with if he just gets some from now on. So I support this. I fully support it. And also, yeah. I don't like the little loophole that Jedi aren't supposed to love, but they could get it on.
Yeah.
And then I really don't like Anakin's justification that my whole life is about love. Really hate that. That's gross. Yeah.
No, it ain't good. It ain't great. All right. So meanwhile, we see Yoda teaching the younglings. And we know, I guess, spoilers for The Mandalorian Season 2. Did you not finish The Mandalorian? Are you not caught up through Season 2? Well, we're going to talk about something that is revealed in The Mandalorian Season 2 in the next 10 seconds. And I don't know how long we'll be on it. Could be a minute, could be less. But just skip ahead, just in case. Mandalorian Season 2 spoilers. We know that Grogu, mm-hmm. Jess, is here in the Jedi Temple somewhere because he's going to survive
the Purge.
He'll survive the Purge. Maybe he's not here quite yet. I like to believe he's in this scene. I like to believe that Grogu is here training with the other younglings, and we just can't see him because he's so small.
I would love to believe that too, Josh, but the way that Grogu behaves says to me he is not emotionally ready to train with these other younglings. He is not emotionally 6 years old yet.
Yeah,
he's barely 4 years old emotionally at the events of The Mandalorian, which are many years from now. I feel like Grogu's probably in the Jedi nursery, like drinking a Jedi bottle.
Yeah, he's in daycare.
He's in Jedi daycare.
Jedi daycare. I think you're probably right. It's just what I like to think. I think it'd be funny if he was in here with all the little younglings. But they're showing us the younglings now, Jess, because they want us to like know what the younglings are.
We can
so
have
that
our hearts
one
crushed.
Movie from now. Yeah.
God. And also, they bring so much to the table because they are able, you know, a six-year-old is able to figure out why this planet isn't on the map where Obi-Wan could not. So that's like even more value that we lose eventually.
Yes. So Yoda is like trying to like teach that he's both Yoda's multitasking, Jess.
Yoda's good at everything.
He is, except for detecting that Emperor Palpatine is clearly the bad guy.
There's that, but you know.
And I feel like that you don't need even the Force. Like, you just need to have a decent judge of character. This dude's the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, you send Obi-Wan in this convoluted thing to unpack this huge mystery that does not end up reflecting well on the Jedi. And yet Obi-Wan still can't figure that out either.
No. So he's like, oh, you don't know where Kamino is. Oh, well, here's a lesson for both the younglings and for Master Obi-Wan. One of the younglings is like, oh, maybe someone erased it from the archives. And Yoda's like, what do you think about that, Obi-Wan? Did you ever think about how to use a computer?
You could restore it from the last tape backup and see if it's in there then.
And Obi-Wan's like, oh my God, they deleted it from the, I am such an idiot. They know that only a Jedi could have erased the files, but who would have done it and why? I don't know. Maybe you should have listened to Padme when she said, I think that this exiled Jedi tried to kill me. Like, maybe things are adding up.
Look at the timestamp on this. This thing got deleted from the database right before Count Dooku peaced out and left the Jedi Order. I don't know, two and two together?
Yeah, it's tough. Hard for me to figure out. So Obi-Wan's trying to figure out what to do. He's going to go to Kamino next. Next, we go to Naboo. And here on Naboo, we find out Padme, she wasn't even the youngest queen ever elected.
Why are they voting for children? I hate it.
Yeah, strange. I'm not sure. It is an odd tradition for sure. Listen, I'm all for, like, the youth or the future, but that is pretty young. Probably too young.
Yeah. Not okay.
Padme was like, I got elected too young. I kind of just wanted to live my life. But then the next queen asked me if I could be the senator. It's like, all right.
So they vote for the queen, but they don't vote for the senator.
I guess.
That's weird.
I suppose that's right. Meanwhile, they go to a meeting with the queen, and look who hasn't retired yet is this old fart, C.O. Bibble. C.O. Bibble's still just in the room, like, yeah, I don't have anywhere else to go.
I mean,
he's like, yeah, we've lost all communications. And Padme's like, C.O. Bibble, are you okay? You said that like 8 years ago. Can you say anything else? The communications. Like, maybe we should retire this guy.
You know, I don't feel like anybody came out of Phantom Menace being like, hey, I wonder what happened to C.O. Bibble.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We could have said see you later.
See you later.
Yeah. He was on the Bibble, but they decided to keep him.
Yeah. I
almost got canceled.
God.
Very proud of the jokes.
I'm wonderful.
Feeling very good.
Yeah,
about it.
Yeah, that's early contender.
I'm pretty loaded up with C.O. Bibble material.
God. Can't wait.
Yeah, Bibble
back. Can't wait to see what you do next.
Kids. Kids love Bibbles.
Bibbles and bits.
Yeah. Bibbles and bits. So Bibble's like, hey, C.O. Bibble's like, how are you going to keep Padme safe? What are you going to do? And Padme's like, I don't want you to put my security on a Padawan. He's just a Padawan. Anakin's like, I'm not just a Padawan. Be nice to me. You've known me forever.
You've known me since I was nine.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I was your babysitter. You're a kid. Like, let me be the adult here. He's like, but mom.
God.
Meanwhile, on Kamino, Obi-Wan shows up, and as soon as he steps in, Ton Wee is here. Ton Wee, as you described, like a Q-tip looking character, is like, oh, hey, we're so excited to have you here. And Obi-Wan's like, really? I didn't announce myself. They're like, yeah, we kind of figured you'd be here.
Yeah, we've been expecting you. Come on in. We got this thing. Yeah, we can't wait to show you.
We thought you'd be psyched to come and pick up your
thing
clones.
You ordered.
Obi-Wan's like, huh? And she's like, go tell Obi-Wan, go tell Sifo Dyas that his order will be ready pretty soon. And Obi-Wan is surprised because Sifo Dyas died a decade ago. So how is it possible that Sifo Dyas placed this order? One. And then two, Obi-Wan takes a minute to be like, man, Sifo Dyas is a really cool name. It's a shame that we applied that just to a character who died off screen. We should have done more Sifo Dyas stuff.
You know, maybe he'll show up in the Dexter Jetster series. There's always hope. You know, all of these people, you know, there's a deep, rich canon that people that are not George Lucas have invented.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder, like, did Sifo Dyas do this himself, or was it like Dooku using Sifo Dyas's credentials? Like, maybe they forgot to close out his account when he died. He's like, huh, I got Sifo Dyas's credit card. I'm just going to load up some stuff.
Yeah. Yoink. He does like, he Dickie Greenleafs Sifo Dyas. That's a talented Mr. Yep. Ripley.
Oh, I'm here for it.
Yeah. For anyone who didn't know. So everyone's like, interesting. It so happens that I knew Sifo Dyas and, I should be definitely checking out what Sifo Dyas ordered. So Obi-Wan leaning
in. I can't wait to see, the thing that we definitely ordered together. And I'm here to pick it up on his behalf. Want to see it. Yeah. Show me the thing.
Meanwhile, on vacay because to protect Padme, Padme and Anakin have gone into hiding
at Lake Como.
At Lake Como, elsewhere on Naboo. Yeah, George Clooney across the waving from his house. Yeah,
it is.
It's actual Lake Como, but it is the Lake Como of Naboo.
Yeah, Lake Como.
They're there, and Padme is, remembering old times. They used to go and lie in the sand and have a great time. This is the moment.
It's the moment, and it's worse than I remember it.
This is the moment. Tonight is the night, as Anakin says. Well, I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating. It gets everywhere.
And
not like you, Padme. You're so smooth.
And I'll get everywhere with you.
Yeah.
Padme's like, please stop hitting on me.
And Anakin's like, ugh, that was not smooth. You are coarse and rough and irritating.
Stop trying to get everywhere.
And she's like, but oddly, I'm into it. And so they make out for like a minute. Not even. It was a quick make out. A quick MO sesh. I mean, that Padme is like, I shouldn't have done
that. Vacation's got to be so boring. She's like, well, I guess I'll give it a try. We've seen every DVD in the vacation house. Really bored here. Let's give it a shot. I have to say this. I don't like sand line. It's such a goddamn non sequitur. It makes the line even worse than it already is. Like, he's not responding to anything that she's saying. He's not interested in anything she's saying. He's just been sitting on this sand line for like 20 minutes while she tells this story. And he's like zoned out of the story a long time ago. And he's just waiting. Can't wait to drop my line in about sand. It's really going to work. It shouldn't have worked. He should have, he should have gotten yeeted into the sun at this point.
I love that. Yeeted into the sun. Back on Kamino, Obi-Wan's like, wow, look at all these clones. Dex was right.
Hey.
Cause we got all these clones that are modeled after Jango Fett.
All right. And Josh, this is another, like, I should have rewatched this movie at least once in the past 20 years before you had me rewatch it, because that would have made season 2 of The Mandalorian make a lot more sense.
Did you not remember Jango Fett connection?
He says who he is. I didn't realize it was the same actor until I see him here. And I thought that was great.
Right.
It's such a great payoff.
Yeah. They're using the same guy.
Yeah, I love that it's the same guy.
Tem Morrison is back in the house. Much younger here and not as Sarlacc scarred as he is as Boba Fett and Mando.
That's very exciting. And a thing that I also liked, like, speaking of payoff, there is a conversation that Obi-Wan has with Dexter about what is the difference between droids and clones and why would it be advantageous to have clones? And they talk about, if droids could think, that's how you get a clone. And you get the payoff in the scene. It's like, these are the clones that we ordered because droids are not going to be as good at this. And I think that's really cool. And I liked that little moment where, this conversation actually made sense later on. That doesn't happen a lot in this franchise.
I have to say, I remember, watching this movie for the first time. And, you know, this was, I've talked about how this is the movie where I was watching it in theaters and I was turning on Star Wars. But one thing that happened while I was watching the Kamino scenes that I remember fairly vividly is being like, it's really cool to finally get, like, to put the clones in Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was something that they talked about in the original trilogy. And, like, to get to see some of this stuff, even then, if, like, the rest of the movie wasn't feeling totally adequate to me, it was neat. It was neat to see clones for the first time.
Yeah, and it was, and the scale of it is pretty great. It's fun to just, like, zoom out and see all these clones. And I feel like it's got some real, like, you've seen Mythic Quest, right, Josh?
Of course, Raven's Banquet.
It's got some real Blood Ocean energy to it, where it's like George Lucas walks and he's like, Clone Wars. What is that? Make that a thing.
Yeah.
And they spend 20 years trying to figure out what the Clone Wars are, and this is what the Clone Wars are, and it's really spectacular, and it's really fun that you kind of realize, the Jedi really did order this. This wasn't like credit card fraud. This is something they actually want, and it's really ethically icky. And then you see Obi-Wan kind of grappling with that already.
Yeah. Just on Naboo, we have a shock jumping moment. There is this animal called a shock.
It's a taper with a huge ass.
Anakin rides and falls off of, but just does it to troll Padme to be like, "Aren't I cute?" And she's like, "Honestly, yeah. Unfortunately, you are."
Yeah, it's one of the most disappointing things. Yeah, it kind of actually is. But I also I love the payoff of this scene later on too, because it's like every time there's a big gross animal, Anakin's going to try to ride it.
Yes, he kind of loves.
He's like Charles Darwin in the Galapagos. That's a big animal. I'm going to see if I can ride it.
You know what? I wish that we got to see in one of the original trilogy movies Darth Vader riding a giant animal.
That would have been great. Put him on top of Bantha.
Yeah. I just Googled Darth Vader dinosaur.
What? Why? Are you eight?
I had this memory. I had this memory of an image of Darth Vader riding a dinosaur, but I think it may have been Chewbacca was the one I was thinking of.
Wait. This is not a dinosaur. This is Darth Vader riding Charizard. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Chewbacca thing I was thinking of, there's Chewbacca on a squirrel fighting Nazis.
No, I think I found Darth Vader on a Velociraptor. Or maybe that's a T-Rex.
That's cool. I see him on a T-Rex.
This is pretty great.
I also see a Velociraptor dressed up as Darth Vader.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. God, I'm so excited that I have a son, because this is going to be my life in about 3 or 4 years.
Listen, when we're all able to hang out again, let me know. I'm a very good uncle, whether like legit uncle or like family friend uncle. I will nerd out with you guys.
You give off a little bit of an avuncular air there, Josh.
I'm deeply prepared for this. Big summer camp counselor energy that I'm bringing to the table. It's going to be a great time.
I need to see that thing with Chewbacca and the squirrels, though.
Just Google Chewbacca dinosaur and it'll show up.
But Chewbacca, you could also squirrel Nazis.
Yeah, it's popular. This one's popular.
This is extraordinarily well executed.
Yeah, would you like to describe it for people,
or
is it simple enough
to
say it's Chewbacca on a squirrel
it's
fighting
Chewbacca
Nazis?
On a very large squirrel.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, with a crossbow, he's fighting Nazis. It's great.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's basically what it is. Back on Kamino, Obi-Wan meets Jango Fett, and it's really a scene. First, he meets Boba Fett, baby Boba. Baby Boba's there. Dad, someone's here to see you.
Can we talk about how the Q-tip guys think it's weird that Jango Fett wanted his own clone, if they're already cloning?
Yeah, he wanted his own clone to be his little baby boy.
What's weird about that? Like, if somebody came to me and said, hey, we need to clone you to make an army, I'd be like, okay, A, why? There's got to be a better candidate. But B, do I get my own mini-me?
See, maybe this is where our roads diverge, because I would be, like, very adamantly opposed to a mini-me.
Like, can I keep one?
But frankly, I mean, I guess like if I'd gotten that far, I would want to keep one. But this is why I wouldn't want to be cloned for an army's purposes. It would be very nerve-wracking to have. I know what I said earlier, but a bunch of cloned Wigglers scares the poodoo out
of me. I feel like
it'd
be really upsetting to watch all the Mii's fighting and dying. That's upsetting. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be there for that. So I guess Django's plan is he's going to take his mini-me and peace out.
The evil us. I wouldn't want anything to do with
that.
He's
just a simple man trying to make his way in the universe.
Yeah, I'm a simple man trying to make my way in the universe. This is a great moment where Obi-Wan and Jango Fett are basically doing the Larry David do 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 bah, 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 bah. You know, just like sizing each other up, and Obi-Wan just looking at him, okay.
Yeah.
He's like sussing him out. It's pretty clear to Obi-Wan, like, this guy,
he's
I don't
trouble.
Know. And Jango's like, Boba, pack a bag. We're busted. We gotta go. We gotta get out of here. Oh my God. So they're gonna leave, and Obi-Wan's like, I think I've gotten to the bottom of this. They're dealing with a guy named Tyrannus. And that is not the Tyrannosaurus Rex that Darth Vader is occasionally.
Yep, be right back. I'm Googling riding. Count Dooku dinosaur.
Is there a Dooku dinosaur? If there is not a Darth Tyrannus. Darth Tyrannosaurus autofills.
Oh, okay.
What is that? Yeah, and it's just Christopher Lee's head superimposed on Tyrannosaurus.
That's everything you want it to be. It's great.
It is. It's really, really good.
I was not
good.
Disappointed.
No, there's a bunch of them that are pretty good. There's one that's him with, like, force lightning. The Photoshop job is really bad on some of these, but it's very fun.
I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I'm here for... Christopher Lee, Darth Tyrannosaurus.
Star Wars needs more dinosaurs.
I don't think that's wrong. I don't. I think that that's probably right. So on Naboo, you know how on Mole Patrol, Jess, we often talk about like the lap of luxury being a shrimp ring with maraschino cherries? I feel like you got to throw like a floating space pear into that.
Yeah, floating space pair. I should have known you were going to take detailed notes. And again, I don't think of Star Wars as being a food movie franchise.
Uh-huh.
So anytime they are eating, it does stand out. And
yeah. Yeah.
I don't hate it. It's better than a sandwich with gray meat.
Yeah. Star Wars. No one ever eats anything. Also, Star Wars presents a luxurious scene of a floating pair and an intimate dinner party. This leads into near coitus.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite, but we go from the pair to the pair of Anakin and Padme.
Ooh, that was intentional.
Good segue, huh? And they're like by the fire, and he's like, "You want to do it?" And she's like, "No, we can't." And he's like, "Come on."
Yeah, I feel like.
You're in my soul. You're tormenting me. Padme, you're tearing me apart, Padme.
It's romantic that they're going to wait till marriage, I guess.
Yeah.
Felt like it was very indicative of like Disney taking over Star Wars.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. She says, "I'm a senator. You're a Jedi. I'm an adult. You're a child. This isn't going to work out so well.
I have nice hair. You have a rat tail."
He's like, "I'll cut it off. I'll be a Jedi Knight. I'll have, like, really cool hair." Padme doesn't want this. She's not interested.
Except maybe Luke Skywalker.
Take a hint. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take a hint. All right, back on Kamino. Obi-Wan is being told, okay, so the first battalion is nearly ready to roll. So Obi-Wan sends a transmission to Mace and Yoda to be like, "Hey, so we've got a clone army?" Yeah. Did you know that?
Because
we
do.
We currently are in possession of an army of clones, which is pretty wild. And by the way, do you remember Sifo Dyas, who died 10 years ago? He ordered the clone army. And they're like, I don't know. This Jango Fett guy you keep talking about, do you want to bring him here? And Obi-Wan's like, "Yes, I do. I would like to get into a fight with that guy, quite frankly."
Yep. I mean, who doesn't, really?
So, put a pin in that. You're going to get into a fight pretty soon. On Naboo, Anakin has a nightmare. It is about his mom.
Okay, and this would also be an easy fix, Josh Wiggler. Can we talk about, like, when you join the Jedi Order, are you just, like, not allowed to write home? It feels like he should have been able to keep tabs on what his mom was up to.
Yes.
He should know that she like got freed from slavery and got married. I feel like she should have sent him an invite to the wedding. He should have been allowed to take time off to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I
it's
think that's
really
right.
it's upsetting to me that maybe he didn't even try. Like maybe we know he's prone to the dark side because he doesn't write home to his mother.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. "Hello, mother." And then the "Hello, Father" part doesn't fill in because he was immaculately conceived.
I don't buy that either, by the way. I'm pretty sure, like...
I know.
I'm pretty sure Shmi just didn't know what was going on.
I maintain, we talked about this a bunch in our Phantom Menace coverage. Like, Shmi was like, yeah, he just showed up. Could you not ask me anymore? You are creepy as hell, Qui-Gon.
Yeah, and also, you know, she's a slave. I have to imagine we don't want to interrogate that too deeply because that's a different movie.
And also, like, mind your business, guy. Leave me alone.
I don't blame her there.
Yes. So Anakin is doing yoga, and Padme's like, "What's up?" He's like, "Don't leave. Your presence is soothing." I had a bad dream, he says. is a vision. He's had a vision. He says Jedi don't have nightmares, yet he also previously said that he's been having dreams of both his mom and of Padme. So what's it going to be? Either way, Padme is going to go with Anakin to check in on his mom because it's a Star Wars movie, and God forbid we have a Star Wars movie without Tatooine in it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So we're gonna have the Tatooine stuff coming up. Meanwhile, fight scene. Fett fight.
Oh,
Fett
yes. Fight.
Obi-Wan versus Jango Fett. You know what my favorite part about the Obi-Wan and Jango Fett fight is? Is how video game like it is when Obi-Wan falls off the side and then respawns at the exact same point where he first started the fight.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, like, technically he has to, like, go take the elevator again and come back up, but it's basically,
it's a safe point.
You know, respawning, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of this, I think, in the prequels, you can tell that a lot of the scenes have been created with video games in mind. Like, you have the chase scene here. Of course, the pod racing is iconic. You have this. You have the upcoming arena battle. I feel like all of this is very video gamey.
Very video gamey. I like Jango Fett. I think they could have done more with him. They really let him just get rocked later on. But the fight between him and Obi-Wan is pretty cool. The jetpack going off. Really neat to see a Slave One again. I love that ship. Yeah, I think it's fun to see Obi-Wan in battle against, like, an iconic-looking character. The Mandalorian armor and that aesthetic is always super neat to see. So, I actually like this. I thought that I was going to roll my eyes pretty hard watching the Obi-Wan and Jango scene, but I enjoyed watching
it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at that point in my life, I had thought that Boba Fett was kind of an overblown character, and to have his origin story shoehorned in here felt really dumb. But now, with the benefit of hindsight and two great seasons of The Mandalorian, I hate this a lot less.
Just to stay on this beat for a minute, Obi-Wan pursues Jango Fett to Geonosis, this faraway planet where Darth Tyrannus is hanging out. And there's the asteroid ring space battle. And this features, unironically, again, to use that word, Jess, my favorite, maybe, sound effect in all of Star Wars, the huge bass guitar riff when sonic mines, these, like, torpedoes get fired off. I love that sound. The gong.
Yep. It's very, very cool. And this is also very video gamey.
Yes. And I like, I love when Boba Fett says, "Get his hand, get him, fire!" Oh,
tiny Boba Fett.
Yeah, little baby Boba. I don't know if this was like, well, everyone's going to really be into Boba Fett because we've got a kid playing him. That worked out pretty well with Darth Vader, so.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Muppet Babies worked once. You don't need to keep trying to do it.
Yes. So anyway, that's what's going on. Meanwhile, Padme and Anakin, they arrive on Tatooine. Quick little reunion with Watto. They have like 5 seconds with Watto and Anakin, who is about to go ham on some Tuskens, has no problem just like leaving Watto basically alone. Some light intimidation as he finds out that Shmi, his mother, was sold to Lars. Lars.
I can't remember what his first name is.
Yeah, Klieg Lars.
Yeah.
Yeah. He records our podcast sometimes. Klieg Lars. And so Anakin and Padme are going to go there. And oh, look, C-3PO. 3PO's like, Anakin, you son of a... You left me, yeah, Anakin.
The number of people that 3PO ought to recognize later on keeps on growing.
Yeah. Or reckon with. Yeah. Like, I can imagine an alternate universe, Jess, where 3PO has, like, an Arya Stark-level list of people who've wronged him. You built me! You brought me into this world! You can't just leave
me! I really feel like maybe he should have stayed mounted on the battle droid. Spoiler for 10 minutes from now.
He also gets, like, pretty battle-hungry in that moment, too. Klieg Lars and his son Owen and Beru, who seem like lovely people who are going to be totally fine in the long run.
Yeah, I think it works out great for them.
I think everything's going to be okay. They're like, yeah, we love Shmi. Shmi's the best. We're huge fans of Shmi. Klieg and Shmi got married. Everything's great, except Shmi got captured and, well, we kind of just, you know, it was a month ago.
Sorry.
Yeah, we didn't want to tell anyone, and also, like, I don't know, what were we going to do about it? We didn't tell anyone, it seems.
Yeah, they. I guess, you know, we already know that Tatooine is a lawless place, but you'd think that the TBI would be all over that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Anakin's like, all right, well, I'm going to look into that a little bit by myself.
He finds her, like, 2 minutes later, so clearly nobody was trying very hard.
He finds her 2 minutes later, and the scene with Shmi is really upsetting. Shmi is, like, tied up. She's nearly dead. She says, Anakin! Oh, my God, Anakin! And then she dies. That's it. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, super upsetting.
She just wanted to see him. Like, I was holding out so that I could die in front of you. Bad tactic.
Yeah, don't love it. It's not a good look.
He kills all of these little Tuskens, and eventually, like, even some of the little ones, where he's like, I killed them, Padme! Even the babies! I killed the men, the women, and the children! These animals!
He's channeling Alan Alda there.
Yeah, they killed all of them!
Baby!
Every single one of them! And Padme is like, oh, well, that's alright. Because, you know, I've already gone past a few of my own personal boundaries. I think, like, at this point, I'm all in.
I can't really switch horses in midstream here.
Yeah. They have a funeral for Shmi. Anakin says he'll never fail again. Meanwhile, R2 and C-3PO get a message from Obi-Wan, who has landed at Geonosis. They've made it to Geonosis. And he needs to, like, get Coruscant. It's too far. He needs the Wi-Fi extender. And so he's got Anakin on Tatooine. So he's bouncing his message to Tatooine to bounce back to Coruscant, where Yoda and Mace Windu, meanwhile, are, like, communing with Ghost Qui-Gon Jinn.
Do you remember when we were supposed to feel like Tatooine was the absolute outer edge of the galaxy? And now it's like, oh, yeah, that was like... You know, Tatooine's sort of the middle, and this is like the outer edge of the galaxy. It makes Tatooine feel a lot less like a frontier planet.
It's always everything is threading back through Tatooine, and I can't say that I love it. I really wish
we hadn't gone to Tatooine pretty much at all in the prequels. We didn't need to be there. Like, make Anakin be from somewhere else. Make Tatooine be a place where you might actually go to hide a child. Instead of, like, the hub of everything that ever happens. Like, of course you're going to find Luke Skywalker there. It's weird that you didn't.
Yeah, and so last time we talked about how maybe get Obi-Wan on Tatooine in a more meaningful way, since it's going to become, like, a very important place to him. And now we're in two prequel movies where Tatooine is important.
And Obi-Wan's never there.
And Obi-Wan is either not there or barely there. So it just feels weird. I don't know.
Like, make
whatever.
Him from there. Anakin doesn't have to be from there.
Yeah, I think that's, something like that would be better. Anakin is, he picks up the message. It's gotten clear that, like, the Trade Federation's been behind trying to kill Amidala, Count Dooku, all of this stuff. The council's like, all right, well, we're going to handle what's going on in Geonosis. You and Padme should just go back into hiding. And Anakin's like, nah, Obi-Wan's kind of like my dad. And Padme's like, really? He's like, well, you know, he's kind of like my dad. I'd love to help him, but I'm not supposed to. And Padme's like, yeah, but you're supposed to protect me. And I'm going to save your father. So you got to hitch a ride with me and we're going to go. And they're like, okay, I guess this is how we're going to do it. Also, C-3PO, finally, let's liberate you from Tatooine.
Yep. Finally, you go on an adventure with everybody else.
That's how we'll do it. Meanwhile, everyone's reporting this back to Palpatine. And that, like, now we've got the clone army. This is going to be great. And there's a little bit of objection here. And they're like, I don't think that we could use the clones before the Separatists fight. And one of Palpatine's, like, terrifying advisors is like, maybe we should give Palpatine emergency powers, huh? And Palpatine's like, oh, I don't know how we would do that. We would need a senator who would be willing to propose such a radical amendment. If only Senator Amidala were here, Jar Jar, as he just, like, looks directly at Jar Jar, and Jar Jar's like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I could do that, right?
Yeah, well.
And so we're going to have to lay everything that comes next at the feet of Jar Jar
Binks.
Maybe
that whole dark Jar Jar theory is not so far-fetched after all, when you think about that.
Yeah, whether he meant it or not, he ends up being responsible for some terrible things. On Geonosis, Obi-Wan gets captured and gets to hang out with Christopher Lee. It could be worse.
Yeah, he's a good villain.
Yeah, you know, Christopher Lee's great. Throw Christopher Lee in anything and you're probably going to have a decent time with at least Christopher Lee.
I mean, what franchise has he not been in?
You know, he's probably touched most of the franchises at this point. Rest in peace, the great Christopher Lee. And he's talking, like, to Obi-Wan. He's like, we don't know each other that well. I knew Qui-Gon. Apparently Qui-Gon was Dooku's Padawan once upon a time.
Because, of course, all these people know each other.
It's very incestuous in the Star Wars universe. Sometimes pretty close to literally.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason to let the Jedi date outside of the Jedi Order.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good idea. Obi-Wan's not going to join Count Dooku. Count Dooku's like, well, this is a shame. Then we're probably going to have to execute you in a gladiatorial
arena. He kind of doesn't try too hard, though. He's like, yeah, this really isn't going to work, is it? And Obi-Wan's like, no, not really.
It's not going to work with me, man. He's like, all right, I'll try
elsewhere.
I'll
just execute you in the arena.
Back at the Senate, Jar Jar Binks says, well, I think we should probably give Palpatine emergency powers. And Palpatine's like, oh, no. You know, I'll take them, but this sucks, right? I love democracy. It is such a shame that we've come to this point. I'll put this down as soon as everything is fixed.
Yeah, you know, this hits real differently now, too.
Yikes. It does. His hands are up, so you know he's not crossing his fingers, but he's also wearing shoes, and no one could see that Palpatine was crossing his toes.
I mean, that's one of his Sith superpowers, is the ability to cross his toes.
Super bendable toes. Every single toe bent, except for the middle toe, which was outstretched. Finger rockets to the sky. Toe rockets to the sky.
Oh my goodness, I'm visualizing this.
Palpatine's like, suck it. Yep. Mace Windu and Yoda are just watching, being like, this seems problematic, but I guess we're cool with it for the next several years of clone
warring. I mean, that guy's probably not the bad guy.
That guy can't be the bad guy. We would know, right?
We'd sense it in the Force. We're strong in that way.
I feel like we would know. Anakin and Padme show up at Geonosis, and this is where we get into, like, all of, like, the factory chicanery.
Yeah.
This is, like, Anakin and Padme are just, like, getting tossed around conveyor belts, and R2-D2 as well, and C-3PO gets his head lopped off and put onto a droid.
I think he should have kept it. It's a good look.
This stuff is so goofy.
It's really goofy. And it's like, oh, this is the video game level. Like, oh, it's the factory level. Yeah. You know, we got through the asteroid belt level and now the factory level. And now we're going to get the arena level.
Yeah, this is like the Aladdin Sega Genesis game where you had to like escape the temple, like the genie's temple.
The Cave of Wonders.
The Cave of Wonders.
I literally saw that movie last night, so very fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that. It's like just like this very old school platformy video game level that exists here.
You know, then the droid factory takes a casualty.
Yeah. The droid factory very nearly, Anakin very nearly loses an arm here. It's a good thing that
he
didn't.
Some pretty petty foreshadowing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's different when you
this
know
this is like
coming,
Arrested
huh?
Development level hand foreshadowing.
Yes. Anakin lost his arm to a loose Dooku. They get captured. They're going to the arena. Anakin's with Padme. He's like, Padme, don't be scared. He said, totally
afraid.
And then
he says he has a bad feeling about this. Oh, really? Because you're chained to a pillar in an arena where they just announced you're being executed.
Yeah, well, it's Star Wars. These movies rhyme.
That's not rhyming.
So we needed, if we needed to have that in here. Padme says, I'm not afraid to die because I've been dying a little each day since you were back in my life.
Death.
Yeah, wretched backhanded compliment there, huh?
I think we all feel that way.
Yeah, except that she actually loves him, she says. And Anakin says, I thought that we decided not to do that.
I thought we were just friends.
And she's like, shut up, loser, and kiss me. And so they kiss. And then they go to the Colosseum, and Obi-Wan and Anakin are like, oh my god, what do we do? What do we do? Meanwhile, Padme just like uncuffs herself, climbs the tower. She's like, you idiots, figure this out. You know, Padme's like, I'm on top of things. And I think that's, no, Obi-Wan says, I think she is on top of things.
Yeah, and then he gets dragged. He's like, this is such a drag. Oh my god, shut up.
Yeah, the puns are great. I don't know, I was laughing. This stuff I was enjoying to a certain extent.
My least favorite thing in the entire movie happens here, like worse than the sand line.
Oh, what
Padme
is it?
Jumping down off the column to ride the beast.
Yes.
Like, she falls straight down, and then she kisses Anakin on the cheek, and it's so bad that the effects are bad. It's like the end of The Princess Bride sucked and is the worst thing in the movie, and it makes me so angry that this made it into a major motion picture. Like, you know, if this ended up in The Room, we would laugh at it. We'd be like, wow, I can't believe that even made it into The Room. That's so terrible. But no, it's in a Star Wars movie. It's bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
They fight some monsters. There's the Reek, the Ackley, and the Nexu, which is basically a Triceratops, a shrimp, and a cat.
And it's basically like George Lucas's cat walking across the keyboard.
Yeah, keyboard cat. They fight the things, they beat the things. Everyone's like, oh, well, you're gonna have to fight a bunch of us now.
You beat that boss, and now here's the other boss.
Now you have to fight these next bosses, and then Mace Windu shows up. He's like, oh yeah, well, how about the fact that it's me plus a bunch of my Jedi buds? You're gonna fight all of us, and they all get into big fights. And C-3PO shows up. He's got his head on a battle droid. He's like, kill everyone. Oh, God, what am I saying?
I love it. I want him to stay that way.
Yeah, it would have been cool. I'd like another prequel with C-3PO as a murder bot.
And it just proves you don't have to resort to racism to have a comic relief sidekick, George Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Just Mace Windu chops off Jango Fett's head in like a single move. And so maybe this is why Jango Fett didn't want to do the assassination gig on Coruscant. Maybe he just like knew that I shouldn't be fighting people anymore. Well, I had my time where I could fight people. This
isn't
it. He's
got better intuition than the Jedi Council.
Yeah. And poor Boba Fett watches his dad's head get cut off.
Yep. And then, you know, that sends him on a path, I guess.
There's going to be the scene where Boba Fett holds Jango Fett's helmet. Is that with Jango Fett's head still inside the helmet?
I have to imagine no. I mean, that helmet slides off pretty well.
Yeah. Unless you like, it's like tight.
Maybe
in there.
I didn't.
And you got like sealed
I didn't see
in.
Him, like pick it up and like shake it a little bit to get the head out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There's more fighting. Now everyone's surrounded. All the droids are here. You're all gonna get it now. And then Yoda shows up with all the clones that Sifo Dyas ordered.
Yep.
And Yoda has an outstanding piece of dialogue here. Around the survivors, a perimeter, create! And Jess, whenever Survivor returns to television, if there are survivors that we want to summon a prayer circle for, I hope this works. I think the new meme should be around the survivors, a perimeter, create a bunch of candles. That's the Twitter.
Yeah.
Meme.
This seems convoluted, Josh. It's a long time to go.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a while. So now more fighty, fighty, punchy, punchy, as Kevin would describe
kicky
it,
flippy.
Kicky flip, very kicky flippy stuff. Yada, yada, yada. We get into a fight with Dooku and Obi-Wan and Anakin after they've pursued them. Padme falls off of a ship and everyone's like, Padme, no. She's like, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm mostly fine. We get into the fight with Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Dooku. Cool moment where Anakin has two lightsabers at once. For like a second before Count Dooku just chops his arm right
Ouch.
Off.
I mean, at least like the lightsaber kind of cauterizes the wound. You're not doing like those Adams family, like blood gushy things.
Yeah, that's right. But there is the moment later. He like passes out instantly. Makes sense. When he wakes up, he looks at his arm. He's like, oof.
Yeah.
Tough. I really should have undergone anesthesia like Josh and Jess.
That's going to leave a mark.
That was definitely the move. Yoda shows up.
Okay, and this we gotta stop down because I think there's a lot of people like mentally retconning their response to the Star Wars movies, and this happens whenever a new Star Wars movie comes out and has pretty much since Return of the Jedi, where movie comes out and people see the movie and they see like a lot of awesome stuff and they're like, wow, that was really great. I'm so happy there's Star Wars. And then over time, the doubt sort of creeps in, like, oh, some of that was not very good. Some of it wasn't well written. It's not well acted. This plot hole doesn't make any sense. Oh, I hate this movie. This movie's a piece of garbage. And it happens with every Star Wars movie that you just sort of retroactively, I never enjoyed that. And so I want to stop down here and appreciate what might have been the like most electric moment in the entire Star Wars franchise, and something that I guarantee you every single person in this moment saw and was like, that's awesome. We got to talk about freaking Yoda going kicky flippy. And I don't care what anyone says. That is super rad.
I hated it at the time. I hated it at the time. I was like, oh my God. But I think also because I was like a 10th grader, I think.
10th graders are just looking for stuff to hate.
I think that's it. I think that's a piece of this. I think like part of this is like, I'm at that age where like I'm too cool for shit. And then this was just like a movie that like for me, like my nostalgic sense memory of this movie is like I'm too cool for Attack of the Clones. And some of it's really dumb and some of it's totally fluff and whatever. But I could watch this now and be like, it is just fun to see Yoda just like flying around all over the room. And also like sort of like the ridiculous dialogue, Jess, of Count Dooku being like, well, we see how you are with the Force, but how are you with a lightsaber? And Yoda's like, I'm actually great with one. Let me just take out my baby lightsaber and let's do
this.
There's
nothing not fun about this.
He just throws himself like Miss Piggy at Count Dooku. Hee-yah! Yep. Like he's just like screaming all over the room and he's hopping around and it is goofy.
It's amazing.
But did I enjoy watching it this time? I gotta say I did.
Because it's great.
I did have fun. It's so stupid and I'm just not taking it that seriously and I'm just having a good time watching Yoda have a good time doing his thing.
I think it's wonderful. And I think, you know, anybody that says it's not realistic, it's like, okay, your movie where people have like magic genetic powers to sense things and move stuff with their minds and use a weapon made of pure light. Your bridge too far is that the little green guy can't fight with the lightsaber. Yes. That's problematic.
Yeah. They're electing children.
Yes.
To be queens of planets.
Yes. They're, you know, they elect children to be queens of planets and they appoint people to their Senate. And yeah, there's so many things wrong with this universe that you could start with. And I think Yoda using a lightsaber is pretty far down, especially since we know where Yoda went to college. He did have to at least take one lightsaber class. And clearly, you know, we didn't think he majored in it, but he clearly did.
Yeah, it was a mandatory class. He did well. He did well. He could have probably taken down Dooku, and Dooku got freaked out. So he, like, force-pushed a column to fall on Obi-Wan and Anakin. Yoda's like, uh-uh, you're not crushing my friends. So Dooku leaves, and Yoda saves his friends. And Dooku heads back to Coruscant, where he hangs out with Darth Sidious, and shows him that he's got those Death Star plans. So there's a little Easter egg. We're looking forward towards the Death Star already.
And someday we're going to stuff those in a droid.
Obi-Wan and Mace Windu and Yoda sort of have the postmortem on the whole thing. And they're like, what do you think? Do we think that, like, the Sith have roots in the Senate, maybe? And they're like, nah, no
we
way.
We know that, wouldn't we?
I feel like we would know that, no? And Obi-Wan says, well, it's a good thing that we got all of those. It's a good thing that Count Dooku forged Sifo Dyas's signature and bought all those clones.
Yep.
If we hadn't had all those clones, we would have had a really hard time. We would have lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's ethically pretty iffy, but I'm glad we had them in the moment.
Yeah, and Yoda's like, listen, this was not a win. We're at war. Begun. These clone wars have.
Yes.
And you get the Imperial March, and I maintain this is more iconic than Duel of the Fates. Main Star Wars theme, more iconic than Duel of the Fates. Really cool to get the Imperial March here.
Duel of the Fates is basically a Carmina Burana ripoff.
Mm. I don't hate it. I love it, in fact. I'll say I love it. It's just not, the Imperial March. The Imperial March comes up in, like, this is a music cue that is, like, at the level of, I don't know, this is, like, this music cue showing up as one of those things, like, oh, shit. You know, it's an oh, shit moment. Down. And it's just a music cue. Because it tells you, like, everything that you're going to. Because there's, like, Star Destroyer-ish type machines in the background. The clones are Stormtrooper-esque. And there's that music. And we've got one prequel left. And you know that we are veering towards some intense stuff. So the fact that the music cue, like, triggers all those sense memories is impressive. Most impressive.
Yeah. It signals very clearly, like, it reminds you of where you're going to end up at the end of the last one.
Yeah. And then Anakin and Padme get married in secret, with only C-3PO and R2-D2 hanging out. And these ride or die droids don't tell anybody.
They're pretty good at keeping secrets. I think we already know that.
Yeah, they're not bad. So that's the end of the movie is the wedding. And it's just like, I'm glad you just like kind of like rushed to this and didn't talk about it because I don't want to think about it anymore. So weird that you two are together.
I think nobody would, like, you'd invite people. I don't even know if this is a secret wedding. I think it's we invited everybody and they just didn't want to come.
I'm pretty sure it's a secret, but I can imagine that interpretation as well. Everyone's like, I don't want to see this.
I can't support this. This is not okay.
I don't support this. This is strange. And Padme's like, oh, but you had no problem with me being like a 12-year-old queen?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that was different.
Yeah. I mean, we voted for that. Yeah. We didn't vote for this.
Anakin has his robot hand, and I feel like he didn't get like a good robot hand.
I mean, I think it takes time to forge the really nice ones. I think we saw that. Yeah, we saw that with Luke too. Like when Luke loses his hand, they had to do a lot of tinkering with it to get it to look awesome.
Yeah, but his hand, when you see it in Empire Strikes Back, looks pretty cool. I feel like. He's got like a normal human hand, by the time he's on the ship. He like has a little moment of like, ouchie, when, like they like try to like feel his nerves and stuff. But for the most part,
they're adjusting it. I think Anakin's final hand is in the shop.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Attack of the Clones. It's totally fine.
It was fun.
It's not good. It's not a good movie. You know, again, like The Phantom Menace, it's not a good movie. But I did enjoy myself watching this much more than I have in a long, long time. I really do think a lot of it was watching it with someone who really enjoyed it. It was a fun vibe watching it with a group of people. And I don't know. I'm inclined to just have a good time with this stuff right now. So I had a pretty good time watching it. It's stupid. It's whatever. But some of the stuff is pretty fun. The video game stuff, the kicky flippy Jess is a little ridiculous. But Detective Kenobi is cool. Yoda, the sweet old man Yoda, just doing his thing. There's some good stuff.
There's a lot to love about this movie. I got to give a shout out to the visuals, because there's a lot of really impressive stuff here. And it's hard to remember, because now I think every movie sort of looks like this, but that arena is really a distinctive look. Like, even if it is just a video game level, it's beautifully executed. Death Star looks great. That ship that sails like a jellyfish, that's amazing. The Geonosians, those guys that live there, they look amazing. That's like good for now.
The Geonosians. Yeah.
So
it's a cool name too.
There's
Geonosis.
I think they used up all their cool name points on Geonosis, and they had to get stuck with Darth Tyrannus. And there's a lot of Uncanny Valley in this movie, but not as much as I'd thought.
Better than Phantom Menace in that regard.
Yeah, for sure. They've figured out some of the things they did wrong there, and they've corrected them.
Yeah. So that's Attack of the Clones. Next up, we'll have one more Attack of the Clones podcast. We'll go over your feedback and everything like that. Exact show, TBD, show structure. But get your feedback in StarWars@PostShowRecaps.com. Send it our way. We will get into all of your feedback for one more Attack of the Clones show. Then next month, we got some Clone Wars to take care of. We're gonna deal with these clones, Jess. We're gonna dabble in the Clone Wars, the animated series. The exact nature of that is still to be determined. It's not going to be a huge deep dive, because that would be really, really, really super difficult, to the point of being basically unachievable. But we are going to do some Clone Wars content, one if not two podcasts.
Like 100 episodes of that.
There's a lot. Have you watched any of it?
I thought that when we got to this point, I'd probably watch some more, but I clearly can't get all the way through it in time for the podcast.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a ton. I'm not going to be able to finish it either. I would guess I've seen somewhere in the realm of between 30 and 40 episodes by now. I have to look at where I'm at on. I'm following the Reddit. There's like an Ultimate Order that was posted on Reddit. That's a little bit different from like the official StarWars.com chronological order. Really, really fun. I'm loving it. So I'm looking forward to talking to some experts on the Clone Wars to get their takes on why the Clone Wars is worth getting into. So I think that's probably the direction we're going to go with it, is like less deep divey, more highlights from the Clone Wars. Here's some of the things that you get if you invest in Clone Wars, but also summing some of that stuff up for the people who are not going to go and check out. So it'll be somewhere between like recommend, like a recommendation guide versus summary of some of the things that you miss if you don't
watch
Clone
I would
Wars.
Really love, like if somebody can just throw us like 15 episodes that would be fun watches. Like, what are the iconic episodes of Clone Wars?
I love that too. Yeah. I was thinking like, what is sort of like, what's the lean and mean Clone Wars list to really get the experience? Are there a few like episode orders that would be fun? We're open to Clone Wars feedback even right now in terms of like some podcast structure-y stuff. So if you've got some ideas for that, sling them our way. I do have some ideas of my own up my sleeve. I have at least one that feels very concrete. So get ready. We've got some Clone Wars stuff preparing in the hopper. But first, one more Attack of the Clones. Jess, that's it. That's Star Wars.
That's the thing. Ended. The podcast
that's the
has.
Thing. And now ended. The podcast has. We're going to throw it to that funky exit music from the great Corey B. Check out everything we've got going on Post Show Recaps. Patreon.com /post-show recap. Sign up for the Discord. Go to the casino. Play Dungeons and Dragons. Have the best time. Listen to all the shows that we're doing both in the patron feed and outside of the patron feed. And with that said, we'll be back next week with more Attack of the Clones. Until then, everybody take care. Bye-bye.
A long time to go. A long time to go. A long time to go. A long time to go.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.